We're in the final segment of Georgia Paul Radio, Sunny Day Edition, but it's also Good Friday, and we're about to go into Easter mode. And we're talking about religious freedom. And so, yeah, I'm going to tie those two together in a little bit. But before I end the show with a little bit of a transition to that and somewhat of a high horse sermon, Stefan, your final takeaway for this session, what else do you want to say about that before I take over?
These last few days were hectic. There was a loss of sleep. There were things going quickly. It was kind of a ridiculous situation. And here's my plea for the next session. And I think it would be really nice also to have Democratic representation on committees and a representative to the percentage of the state that we occupy, maybe like 4-3 instead of 8-2. That would be nice.
Weiner.
But my real plea is that those first few weeks in the session when we are infectious with the slow-mo, that we actually start doing things, having committees, having discussions, so that on day 37, day 38, day 39, day 40, we don't have a plane-like 757 rammed down the throats without anyone having a chance to even read it. That is my wish going forward.
The Christians were allowed to read it. Maybe you're just not Christian enough. I'm sorry, I'm not going to go there yet.
Yeah.
John, your takeaway.
I want to mention just one thing that kind of happened this year. And Walter Jones is a writer for Morris News Service. Morris News runs, I believe, the Athens Banner Herald, the Augusta Chronicle, the Savannah paper, and I guess the Florida Times Union, Georgia Times Union. And he used to do all the political, has done all the political reporting. He's leaving his position at the end of the month. So this was his final time kind of sitting in the fishbowl in the back of the House chamber. He's been a very good writer, but it also points to the fact that the number of people covering what's going on at the Gold Dome continues to change and decrease. We've got the AJC has got primarily Christina Torres over in the Senate and Aaron Gould Shinin in the House. They do a good job. They're backed up a little bit by some other people, and you've got other folks. But it's getting harder and harder to learn what's going on down there, and that's something I think we should all be concerned with.
And I would agree, Walter. Good man, good friend, great reporter. Has been singled out by Washington Post and others as one of the best in Georgia. It's just part of unfortunately an industry that's getting harder and harder to take care of the talent at that level for this kind of reporting. And so he'll remain a friend, and he's going to land well. I look forward to seeing what's next for him, because he's got many, many good career years left in him. With that, the Religious Liberty Bill, my kind of final take on it, and it's not a final take because the issue's still with us. We first got the issue of whether or not the governor signs or vetoes, and there are consequences either way on that. We've gotten to a point that I predicted 2 years ago with one of the bill sponsors, and had a very direct conversation with one of them that said, because of the SCOTUS ruling, we had an opportunity to pass a religious freedom bill last year that would have not been as controversial. The SCOTUS ruling on gay marriage changed the playing field. And there are some people that, I believe some of the people that are reacting to this are genuinely concerned and believe that there is the Pastor Protection Act, which was one of the things that started of, is there going to be an encroachment into religious institutions and using tax exemptions and things like that, or telling ministers and or other people of what they can and can't do in their religious ceremonies? And there was an example in Houston of where a mayor tried to directly infringe on rights. And then the question is, are those already protected by the Constitution and the Civil Rights Act, or do we need a new law? There are some legitimate points in the debate, but there are also people that have used this for blatant political opportunism. And my history in Republican politics coincides with about the time that Pat Robertson and Ralph Reed, as his lieutenant, decided that they were going to weaponize Christianity and mobilize people for the Republican cause using people of faith. And during that time, we started identifying if you were a Republican, you were a good Christian, and you had to be a certain type of Republican, and if you were not, you were not as worthy. And we've set up a system of political Pharisees that have now for roughly 30 years gone around telling people that I want this bill, and if you don't support this bill, you're going to go to hell. And I've heard that said at the Georgia Capitol by some of these people. I had this happen on my Facebook page. It was not told I was going to hell. I was told because I didn't support this version of the bill that I was amoral and not a Christian. I do not claim to be the world's greatest Christian. I am a sinner first and foremost. And that's what makes the entire miracle of Easter, if you are a person of faith in the Christian faith, what is so awesome. Because this is a time where we understand, understanding what Easter is, it's that we're not worthy, and yet the one perfect person to ever be put on this earth made the ultimate sacrifice for us. That's what Easter's supposed to be about. That's what Christianity is supposed to be teaching. Christianity is supposed to be reaching out to the people that aren't worthy and let them know that everybody has worth and that everyone is a child of God in the eyes of God. That's what religion's supposed to be. And the people that use bills like this to assert that they are a little better, that if you don't go along with their political agenda, that you are not one of these people and that you're not worthy, and that only the Pharisees that do everything just the right way are worthy to be the good Republicans or, worse, the good Christians, that is an affront to everything that my religion believes in, and that is an affront to everything that the First Amendment and the free exercise of religion believes in. And the people that truly wish that this is about making sure you can exercise your religion, I'm going to suggest to you right now you're doing it wrong. Because not only are you actually jeopardizing the future free exercise of your religion by actually continuing to try to regulate it through the government channel, which only then one day when the political winds change, others will be able to change that because you've legitimized a certain level of how much government can regulate your religion by protecting it. You don't have to change that many words to have it the other way around. And that's another lesson from Easter week, because I wrote a column probably 6 years ago now, and the title of it was "The Only Time Jesus Was Ever on the Ballot, Barabbas Won the Election." A fickle public will change on a dime. And the entire lessons out of my Bible were to keep government out of our religion. We totally revolted and had revolution against the King of England to get away from a state-sponsored church where the state used religion to control the masses and control our behavior. Exercising free religion in the own way between you and your God and your church is one of the fundamental and sacrosanct principles of this country. And that kind of religious freedom needs to be protected at all cost. But the people that will use this week, this Holy Week, and use our system to assert that they are better and that the people don't agree with them, aren't worthy, they're now costing us votes, because the number of people that self-identify as Republican can be directly correlated to having declined with this movement. But also the people now that self-identify as Christians in this country is dropping dramatically, because the people that we have as our ambassadors who have decided to use political channels to assert that they might be a little better or that others aren't worthy are turning people off to a religion that is supposed to say, you have blemishes, you have faults, we all do, we are all sinners in the eyes of God. And yet, the Easter week is supposed to tell us we are more worthy than that. And instead, what we've had, people in the name of God, in the name of protecting their religion, have decided to go on all-out warfare against everyone they disagree with and to tell other people they're not worthy. And yeah, there are things that concern me on the other side of people that want to push a different agenda at times that does look like it's you can have any religion you want so long as I get to do whatever I want and you can't stop it. That's not going to be reconciled, honestly, in a court of law, and it's not going to be reconciled certainly in legislation, because you can put every law you want. It doesn't make people automatically subscribe to it. I'm just going to suggest that, frankly, for those that have been put off by this debate and have decided they like Christians even less because of it, I'll just go ahead and say I'm sorry, as if it's my place to do that. For those of you that look skeptical of people of faith, I understand it. I apologize for those that use the political process this way on that behalf. And as a imperfect Christian and a bad ambassador of the faith at many times, I'm just going to tell you that I share your frustration. And, I believe in a God that loves me, and I believe in a God that loves you, whoever you are. And with that, we're going to close this version of the political season. We've talked that to death. The issue will still be with us. We're going to go have an Easter weekend, and But for those of you of faith, enjoy it. For those of you who have not, enjoy a great weekend. It is that. And then we'll come back and we'll see what the governor does next week. It'll be part of a campaign season that will last us through the initial primaries in May, runoffs a couple of months later, I believe in July, and probably all the way through a general election. And I have a feeling that one way or another, these people in this bill will be with us again starting early January. And it'll feel like Groundhog Day instead of Good Friday, where we do it all again. But I would just encourage those that are doing this and say they're doing it for religion to think long and hard of whether or not this is the right way to be doing that, and whether or not it's really a law you're fighting, and more importantly, are you showing people faith, or are you turning people off to it? Because that, at the end of the day, is my concern for this. More of Sully's Show coming back next hour, 6:40 a.m., WGST. Happy Easter, my friends.